But could you crush a few raw wieners?
So I got to understand what you mean by raw. You mean cold?
Yeah, like you're just taking, you unwrap the pack of wieners, and instead of boiling them or barbecuing them, you just eat them.
Jesus, yeah, because they're already cooked. You're not talking about eating raw hot dogs. They're not cooked. They're already cooked in the package. You just warm them up. So I eat my beans cold. I like cold beans. So back in the day, I would chop up cold hot dogs or out of the package, and I'd put them in my beans and eat them like that.
Ooh, wieners and beans. God, I love wieners and beans as a kid, man. I probably my son loves them now.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a staple as a kid. Like, you haven't lived as a child. I don't think your parents were good parents if they didn't give you wieners and beans at some point in your life.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, and my dad taught me this. Like, you know, like, in take American cheese. Like, he took a slice of American cheese, and he would slice it into little bits. And then he would, little pieces. And then he would put that in with the wieners and beans.
That's pretty good, actually. Know. Yeah, a little bacon in there too, Craig. A little bacon's outstanding. So.
Oh, I never get the bacon. I mean, now there's pork and beans, you know, little pieces of pork, but the bacon, I might have to throw in a little piece of bacon stuff.
Oh, it's a game changer.
I'm in Kamloops, and I just went down where I ran into, I was with Stephen Gainey, and I ran into A.J. Baines and Randy Petruk, and they had some bacon there. Boy, that was good bacon. Oof. Real good bacon. You know where Peters is, don't you, Jason Strudwick?
I do know where it is, yeah. I remember. Now, I got to say, they're joined by Craven. I sent you a text during the Tuesday night game where Quebec lost to the Petes. I said, I think I might enjoy watching Quebec teams lose in the Memorial Cup more than I enjoy watching the Leafs lose. And you didn't answer me, so I must have struck a nerve. Was it a little too personal, that one?
I think I missed it. To be perfectly honest with you, I must have missed it. Honestly, like, because I don't ignore your text. But, like, it's funny you bring that up. It's funny that you do bring that up. Because when you're just talking about losing your fantasy football and having to eat the raw hot dogs, I mean, maybe that's what the core four in Toronto have to do. You know, they don't win a playoff round. They have to eat 12 wieners. at Toronto City Hall.
Well, let's take a look then at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and, you know, with the new GM, you know, it seems like he wants to be patient, but there's quite a few decisions to make. So what is the priority list for you if you were advising Brad Tre Living?
It's real simple for me, Jason. It's, you know, until you get an answer to Austin Matthews, am I staying? Am I going? What's the money? What's the contract term? Everything. I don't think you can do anything else. I think it's first and ASAP. Austin, tell me where you're at. Because, okay. I mean, if Austin's staying and it's reasonable, if Austin wants and it's reasonable, you can make a contract, well, then you can consider other things. I don't think until you get an answer to that, you can even start, you can contemplate, I guess, but you can't start acting out until you do that. So, I mean, it's imperative, I think, that you get an answer on the Austin Matthews situation. Until you get an answer on that, I think it becomes very difficult to move in any other direction.
I look at Austin Matthews, Craig, and I just look at the last few seasons, and I look at, here's David Pastrnak, 60-goal scorer. Here's Nathan MacKinnon, who has the third most points the last few seasons in the NHL behind McDavid and Draisaitl. They make 12.6 and 11.25. I'd seen some people, Matthews 15 million. There's no rhyme or reason. Like, if Matthews wants to be 12.7 because McDavid and McKinnon want to be the highest paid for a short time at 12.6, okay, fine. I could probably live with that. But I see no reason why Austin Matthews should make a significant more amount of money than Nathan MacKinnon based on their recent seasons.
Well, I mean, I can't come up with a reason to convince you otherwise, other than maybe he can. Maybe, you know, people feel that when I say people, I'm talking about in Toronto. Oh, no, we have to pay him. We can't let him go. We have to make sure we keep him regardless of what the price is, right? And here's the other part of it for me with Austin Matthews. And this is what, you know, maybe Austin just wants to go and try free agency. Maybe he just wants to see what's out there. But why don't we just look at that? Why don't we just explore that hypothetical? Who could pay him $15 million a year out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, so there are, you could look at teams with salary cap space. Okay, if that's where you want to go and if you want to get through, I guess you can do that. But, I mean, at the end of it all, I mean, I'm like, who would be number one willing to pay $15 million a year? And who's ready to write the check?
It's
I have a hard time thinking there's anybody. I have a hard time thinking there's anybody. Unless it's in the English Premier League.
Yeah. Or the Saudi soccer team.
Yeah, the Saudi, or Live Golf.
Yeah, right. You know, but we're joined by Craig Button. You know what? I do feel that there is a things get ratcheted up, obviously, when there's that much attention like there is in the Leafs. Like, I remember Brian McCabe signed his contract with the Leafs. It honestly felt like Ferguson was negotiating against himself. And that's the sense I got. You know, and that contract got so big so quickly. Like, I'm not sure that that deal is going to be out there for him. So, you know, is Brad the kind of guy that can just keep it mellow? Or how important is it for Brad to be mellow and just say, okay, let's just be calm about this. Here's the numbers, and not kind of get caught up in I guess, the Leaf frenzy that seems to happen.
Here's what I would say to that, is that for me, I think he can take that route if the Maple Leafs, and when I say the Maple Leafs, I'm talking about the board and Brendan Shanahan, are willing to say, we'll let him walk as an unrestricted free agent next summer.
Okay.
I think that's the only way. I think that unless you have the support of your board, your ownership in the state, unless you have the support of that, and I'll go one step further. I don't know why the board wouldn't support it. You sell out every ticket anyway.
Yeah, right, right. That's it's a tricky thing because he's so valuable. Like he's a good player, but I mean, you know, it's not just him. You have the other guys behind him. Now Tavares won't get, you know, he's not going to get another deal like that, but the other two guys. So I think everything, if he gets a big raise, the other two guys will be looking like, hey, I should get the same thing. So I think this is, it's going to be a very tricky summer for this guy being Brad Trey Living.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason. And again, like, get an answer to it and then understand where it's at. I mean, on July 1st, I mean, I look back to the last contract he signed. He didn't have any leverage, really, and he got everything he wanted.
Yeah.
Now he has all the leverage. All the leverage. And what's he going to do? Maybe Brad Trey Living should phone the Pittsburgh Penguins and see if he could trade Austin Matthews there for Sidney Crosby.
What? Oh, jeez. Oh, the world would end.
Where?
Well, because what is Pittsburgh going to send back, right? I mean, because Sid's got just a, you know, he's older, right? And then he got Austin in. But, like, what else? Like, what young assets would you like out of Pittsburgh outside of Sid?
Well, I'm just – but if Austin's going to walk in a year, Sidney Crosby had 93 points this year. Last time I looked, he shows up in the playoffs and performs. You know what Austin Matthews better be careful of? Is that he doesn't become James Harden.
Huh, fair point. That's a really good player that doesn't seem to get it over the goal line in the playoffs.
Yep.
No, not at all. Craig Button joins us, 7 to Sports Eater, TSN 1260. Craig, Memorial Cup, of course, Strutty's Blazers, tough loss last night. They are out. You got the Peets and Seattle and Quebec. It's a really hard tournament to gauge because, you know what, Quebec, did they just kind of not care? I shouldn't say not care is probably too strong of a word, but, you know, were they like, we don't have to really bust our gut here because we know we're going to the final on Sunday or not? What do you make of this? Is Seattle the clear favorite for you tonight? And then, if so, who do you like on Sunday?
I mean, after the way Peterborough keeps finding a way to keep themselves alive, I mean, it's hard to say clear favorite. And, you know, it's going to be the third game in four nights. I think Seattle's the better team. I think from the net out to the blue line to the forward group, you know, they're deep, they're skilled, they're heavy. And I think that they are the favorite. And I think they can take advantage of a fatigued Peterborough Petes team. And, you know, we saw a real tight, low scoring game between Quebec and Seattle. I wouldn't expect it would be any different. I talked to Matt Odette after that game. He felt that if they would have scored the first goal, that it might have ended up and the result might have been in their favor in exactly the same way. Patrick Waugh felt that, like, you know, that his team was comfortable in that game and didn't really feel threatened at all. So I think it sets up as a big time game. You know, when you start to look at, you know, rest and people go, oh, well, who's a long time off, same thing going on with the Florida Panthers. You know, if you win, the rest helps you. If you don't win, well, you know, the layoff probably didn't help you. You know, and I don't know if there's any way to really gauge that with the long rest and say who in a one game when everybody's going to be ready. But that being said, I think that, you know, you're looking at teams like what's been fascinating to me. These are three line teams in the Memorial Cup. They're not four line teams here. They're three line teams. And I think that two things, well, I shouldn't say two things. One thing really hurt the Kamloops Blazers and, you know, looked like they were going to win that tiebreaker. But losing Kyle Masters really put a stress on that blue line. And I think that, you know, Olin Zelliger had 11 shots on goal in that tiebreak. He was fantastic, I thought, in that game. But you lose somebody like that at this point in the season. I think that Quebec is a really well-coached team. I think Seattle's a really well-coached team. I don't know. I don't know who would be the favorite. I'm being honest. I don't know who would be the favorite. They're both really good teams. At the beginning of the tournament, I felt that Seattle was the best team. So I guess if you put my feet to the fire, I think, you know, going in, they've shown me that they haven't shown me anything to make me change my mind. So I guess I would give Seattle a little bit of a slight edge in a Memorial Cup final versus Quebec.
Yeah, makes sense. I saw him ask about a local player, Colton Dock. You know, I watched him a bit on TV, but the game I saw, I guess it was against Kamloops, he drove off that wing and four or five times got around the D-men with reckless abandon. My eyes are drawn to him. I think he was second round pick. What do you, like, yeah. Is that normal for him? That he attacks the net that hard, or like how does he play?
I think what you saw, Jason, is the way he does play, and when he is playing that way, he's a bear to handle because you know how many players do you see like that now, like that play kind of coming off the wing and driving to the net with that size and power. You don't see very many players that, you know, the way the game is played now. I believe that, you know, as he continues to mature in his game, that he will be that type of player in the NHL. He will be that coveted power winger in today's game where he can put defenders right on their heels because of the speed. Then he makes it hard to handle you because of the size, and then he's going to drive it to the net. And I think those are things that he's honing and everything. He's a good penalty killer. I know at Team Canada, you know, before he got hurt, they used him in more of a catalyst role deeper down the lineup. They had lots of skill. But I think he'll be a player that NHL teams will want to have on their side, not playing against.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Craig, quickly, who do you like in the Cup final?
Vegas. I like their four lines. Florida not going to push them around. And I think their four lines, they got speed, they got skill. We've talked about the six defensemen. I mean, I think it's an excellent group. Aiden Hill's come in and played exceptionally well. I just think that you're looking at a team that is wired to win. I think they're wired to win. And, you look at what the Florida Panthers have done. We're all impressed. They've beaten. But this is a team now that they're going to face that I think that they can take full advantage of, that they're not going to be able to push around. And I think the Vegas Golden Knights are going to win the Stanley Cup. Pretty impressive, sixth year in the league and Stanley Cup champions.
Well, the modern-day Peter Pocklington for Bill Foley. We're going to win in 6 years. And here he is. He's got a chance to match Pocklington and said they'd win in five. So we'll see, Craig. Have yourself an awesome weekend. Enjoy the Memorial Cup.
I will. Thank you, gentlemen.